The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
In the last few sedras, we had Parashas Yisro, Parashas Mishpotim, and now we have Parashas Truma. Parashas Truma deals with the building of the Mishkan. That you shall make for me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst you. This past Shabbos, I started to go into a medrash which explains the proximity of these three sedras, Yisro, Mishpatim, and Truma. And this Shabbos, we didn't have too much time, so we didn't have a chance really to go into it thoroughly, which I would like to this evening. The Medrash tells us in Shmeis Rabba Peret Lamed that the beginning of Parshas Yisro deals with the giving of dinim, the giving of laws, because that's the Parsha where Yisro comes and he sees that Moshe is judging the people, and he gives them the advice where he says you cannot judge the people yourself, novel tibo, you'll wear yourself down. He said therefore appoint and delegate and authorize other judges to help you and to make an entire court system. So Parshas Yisro begins with dinim, with mishpatim. And mishpatim are the types of laws which refer to the rights of man in regards to his fellow man. Every person has certain ownerships, he has certain rights. Dinim, mishpatim are the laws of justice which protects man's rights. So this is what Parshas Yisro begins with. In the middle of Parshas Yisro, we have where Moshe came to Har Sinai to receive the Torah, Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, the giving of the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments. In the following Parsha, Mishpatim ve'ela Mishpatim asher tosim aleihem, ela Mishpatim, these are the Mishpatim which you shall give to Klal Yisrael. Again, the Torah starts to give us all of these dinim, these laws which protect one person's rights against another person. And then following that, we have Parshas Truma, the building of the sanctuary. Now the Medrash asks, why do we find that we have Mishpatim, and then the giving of the Torah, and then again Mishpatim? So the Medrash says as follows. Mashal lematruna shoyisam alecha sazayin lefaneha vazayin lachareha. An example of a great queen. The Torah is compared to a queen. When she walks, she has her sentries, her guarded soldiers in front of her, and her guarded soldiers after her. Kacha teire dinim lefaneha v'dinim lachareha v'hi be'emtza. So is it with Torah. First we have dinim, these laws before, and these laws afterwards. And the Torah is in the center. V'chein omar, and so did Shlema HaMelech King Solomon say in Mishlei, Be'erech stoka aleich b'seich nesivos mishpot. In the path of tzedakah, in the path of righteousness, I shall walk between the paths of judgments. Hatere meres be'ezer nesiva ani ma'aleches. The Torah says, in which path shall I go? Aleich b'darken shalei tzedakah. I will walk in the path of those that do tzedakah, that do charity, b'seich nesivos hamishpot, in between the paths of judgments. Hatere be'emtza, v'dinim ulfaneho, v'dinim lachareho, and judgments before and judgments afterwards. What is the explanation of this? So in Perek Memvov of Tferes Yisrael, the Maral explains. When it comes to judgments, there it's required of us a perfect justice. We cannot lean to the right nor to the left. And we have many prohibitions in the Torah. When a judge comes to render a decision in the dispute between people. For example, Ein Merachmin Medin, he's not allowed to show compassion to either party. Lo Yisaponim, he's not allowed to favor either party. He cannot favor the poor man and say, he's very poor and the other is rich, therefore we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Or he cannot favor the rich man and say that he's a very powerful, known person and it would be a disgrace for him to lose the case. He's not allowed to. Lo Yagurim Ibneish, the Torah says, he's not allowed to fear any man in the eyes of the law. Everyone must be perfectly equal. Lo Yikach Sheichat, he's not allowed to take any bribery. Ki HaSheichat Ya'aver Eini Pichin, because Sheichat blinds the eyes of the wise. If one is a good friend of his and the other one is not such a good friend, then he has to disqualify himself from the judgment. So what do we see? That judgment means perfect justice, where we do not bend the law to the right or to the left. Tachlis Ayesha, perfectly straight. Perfect justice is really impossible in this world. By Kodesh Baruch Hu, by the Almighty, it's possible. And that's why it states, Vamishpat Elokim Hu. Perfect justice is by the Almighty. By human beings, it's impossible. But nevertheless, we still have to try for that perfection. Everyone must be perfectly equal in the eyes of the law. This is why Moshe, on his own, did not want to delegate the authority of the Dayonim, of the judges, to other people. Moshe was called Ish Elokim. Elokim Zubezdin. The Gemara tells us whenever it says the name of Hashem Elokim, that refers to judgment. And Moshe was called Ish Elokim, which means that Moshe came closer to Hashem in perfect justice than any other individual. And he was aware of this. And therefore he felt he did not have the authority, the right to delegate this to people who were not at that level of perfect judgment. And this is why he sat and he judged the people all by himself. And this is why he did not implement Yisro's advice before it was given. Yisro came to him with a different argument. He said, Novel Tibo, it's good, it's true. Nobody can judge as perfect as you can. But Novel Tibo, but it's humanly impossible for one person to judge an entire nation. And what he meant by that in this world we have shortcomings. And if we cannot reach total perfection on this world, so at least we have to try for the next best. And the only way you can do that is if you will delegate this authority to other people. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with Yisro, so Moshe accepted. In judgments, these laws are like shamrim, they're like guards. Because what do they do? They protect the rights of man. All of dinim, all of mishpotim is for one purpose: to protect the rights of man. Everyone is given certain rights, certain possessions. Everyone is given his place. And in order that it should, that one person should not infringe on the place of another, should not infringe on the property of the other, should not infringe on the rights of other. This is why we have Mishpatim. So the whole concept of Mishpatim is to protect, to guard the rights of men. So therefore they're like zayne, they're like sentries. So this is what the Medrash tells us, that there were the mishpatim, the judgments going first, and there were the judgments going afterwards, v'hateira b'emtza, and the Torah in the middle. just like a queen, that she walks with her guards in the front and her guards in the back. Now comes a question. If this is what dinim are, judgments, so then what does it mean, atere be'emsa? Torah is in the middle. What is Torah? Parts of Torah is also mishpatim. This justice. So what is Torah? And that the Torah says, the Torah tells us, be'erech stoka alech. I walk in the path of stoka. Stoka is charity. There's a higher level than mishpatim. There's an additional level. And that is, as mentioned, the mishpatim serve that people should not do evil. You should not take what's not yours. This is the foundation of mishpatim. All of mishpatim is just to define what belongs to me and what belongs to you. But you shall not take what belongs to someone else. Now this is protecting people from evil. But this does not necessarily mean asay tov, the doing of goodness, the doing of positive goodness. This is protecting people from evil deeds, but doesn't necessarily mean the doing of positive goodness. For example, if you give Reuven money because it belongs to Reuven, that's not necessarily goodness. If you take it, you're a Rosha, you're an evil person, you're taking what belongs to someone else. If you give it to Reuven because it belongs to Reuven, so that's dinim. You're fulfilling what you should fulfill. But it doesn't necessarily mean doing a positive good. It's basically a sur meira, shmira sara, the protection that evil shouldn't be done. But what about the positive goodness that should be done? So actually mishpatim then is a shmira minara. It's a shmira, guards from evil. The Torah is called tov. Torah is called good. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to Israel, to Moshe, he said, Ki lekach tov masati lochem. I am giving you something which is good. Good is yet a higher level. That's doing what is positively good in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the eyes of the Almighty. And that is, for example, tzedakah. You do an act of charity to someone else. That's an act of goodness. That's not giving him what belongs to him. When you give something back to a person which belongs to him, you're not doing evil to that person. But you're not doing good to him. If you give him charity, that's an act of goodness. Chesed is an act of goodness. That's why the Gemara always brings that chosid is lifnim meshuras hadin. An act of chesed is not when you do what the law requires when it comes to judging between one man and his fellow man, but what he does more than the law requires. For example, according to the law, it belongs to me and I don't have to give it to him. But I want to give it to him because I want to do some good for him. I go beyond the letter of the law. That's tov. See, that's goodness. And this is the essence of Torah. Therefore the Torah says, Be'erech stoka alech, be'ezeh nesiv ani mahalech. In which path do I walk? I walk in the path of tzedakah, in the path of charity. B'seich nesivas hamishpot, in between the paths of judgments. The paths of judgments protects the Torah, so no evil shall be done. So this brings us to the first level. But after no evil shall be done, there's a higher level of positive good. So that's why the Torah is be'emsa, the Torah is in the center, and the guards are in the front, and the guards are in the rear. And this is why Torah is called Tov, and the Gemara always referred to Torah as Rachmono. Whenever the Gemara would refer to Torah, they would say Rachmono Omar. Rachmono comes from the word good. Rachmono means good, compassionate. Because Torah does not only protect a person from wrongdoings, from evil, but it uplifts him to a level to do positive good in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is why that first you have the parsha of Mishpotim in Yisro, and afterwards you have the parsha of Mishpotim in Ve'elah HaMishpotim, and in the middle you have the Aseres HaDibros, the giving of the Torah. Now this that we say that the Torah is the perfect good, the essence of goodness, this is something that needs much explanation. And there's another medrash which explains this. This is the medrash. This is a medrash in our parsha at the beginning of Parshas Truma, Medrash Yabba Perek Lamed Gimel. The medrash says, "Ki lekach tov nasati lachem torosi al tazovu." This is a pasuk in Mishle Gimel that Hashem said to Moshe, "What I'm giving you is something good." It is a good buy, a good purchase, lekach tov, and therefore do not forsake it. Al ta'azevu es ha-mekach shonasati lochem. Do not forsake this purchase that I'm giving to you. So what did Hashem tell Moshe? He said like this, yesh lecho odom shelekeach mekach. It's possible many times a person buys something and the owner will tell him it's good. But many times the seller will tell them it's good, doesn't mean it's good. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's good, you can trust him. But even if it's a seller that we can trust, and it is good, yesh beizor vein bekesef, it can have the qualities of gold and not the qualities of silver. Yesh bekesef vein beizor, it can have the qualities of silver and not the qualities of gold. This means that nothing can be good from every aspect. Everything is good from one point of view. It's good from a certain aspect. It might be silver and not gold. It might be gold and not silver. Can't have a metal that's both gold and silver. Avla Torah, amekek shenasati lochem. But what I'm giving to you is yesh bekesef, it's silver. As it states in Tehillim Yud Beis, imreis Hashem amores taheris kesef tzoruf, that the words of Hashem in his Torah are pure. They're to the ultimate of purity, like a perfect silver. And yesh beizov, and also it has the quality of gold. Shenemar, as it states in Tehillim Yutes, hanechmodi mizov umipozorov. David HaMelech said that it is nechmad, it is more beautiful than gold and precious stones. So we see that the Torah has both in it. It has silver and gold. This is something that you can't find in one item when you buy it. So what is the Medrash bringing out here? That it's not only good from one aspect, it's good from every aspect. Yesh odom shelekeach sodes, avalei kromim, kromim velei sodes. Sometimes a person that wants to buy a piece of land, sometimes it's a land which is a field that grows crops, or it might grow fruit, but it does not have vineyards. Other times you'll buy vineyards, but it won't be a field or an orchard. But both he can't have on the same piece of land. Can't have at the same time growing vineyards and growing crops. But this that I'm giving to you has both. It has fields and it has vineyards, as it states, and it brings a pasuk. Yesh lecha odom lekeach mekach, ubnei odom en yodein mahu. Sometimes people buy something, but we really cannot recognize its value. Avo mishkar ha-sirsor nodema lokach. We can only recognize its value by the commission that the broker is going to make on it. If we find that the broker makes an enormous commission on it, then we can recognize its value. So Hashem said, who was the broker of giving the Torah to Israel? Moshe. He is the one who made the deal between Hashem and Israel. What did he receive from it? If we'll see what he received from it, then perhaps we'll be able to understand the Torah's value and what is it. Kach Atera. Ein adam yedea mahi ela mishkar shelokach meisha. You cannot understand the value of Torah until you see what Moshe received from giving the Torah from Hashem to Israel. It states, "Umeisha leyada ki koran orpona v'dabri itay." When Moshe came down from Hasinai and he gave Torah to Israel, he didn't realize, but from his face came forth great beams of light. And this is what Moshe received from making this deal of Torah from Hashem to Israel. So from here we can see what Torah is. And then the Medrash tells us, Yesh, the Medrash then tells us, V'yesh l'cho mekach shemish mochrei nimkar imay. Is it possible that when someone gives something, someone sells something, so the item is transferred from one person to the other, but is it possible that the seller himself is transferred? No. But by Torah, we see that not only Torah was transferred from one to the other, but even if we could say the seller himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, was transferred from one place to the other. How do we see this? So the Medrash tells us, the Medrash says, Moshe l'ma'a davadayma. An example of a king who had one daughter. And he loved this daughter very much. And one day a prince came and he asked for her hand in marriage. And the king agreed. And they made the festivities, the wedding, and everything was fine. And then, when all of the festivities were over, the prince came and he said, I must take your daughter, my wife, and I have to return to my own land. And the king said as follows, I cannot live without my only daughter. Life to me is worthless. And therefore, I really don't want to let her go. But to keep her back from you, I can't, because I already agreed that she should become married to you, so she's your wife. And on the other hand, to let her take you away from me, that also I cannot, because I cannot live without her. So the king said, therefore, do this for me, do this favor, that wherever you go, build a home for me also, that I might come and live together with you. Kach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So did Hashem say. Vayichuli truma. Take from yourselves contributions. Osuli migdosh. Vishochanti b'seichon. And make for me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst you. From here we see that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Israel, not only was there a transfer of Torah from one possession to the other, but he who gave it also was transferred. He also went from one place to the other, from one, he was transferred also from one possession to the other, if we could say such a thing. This is what the Medrash tells us. Now, what is the explanation of this? The Medrash is basically explaining to us, what does it mean that Torah is Tov? Ki lekach Tov nosati lochem al ta'azevu, that I'm giving you something which is good, and therefore do not forsake it. Now, Tov is something, is a word which is used sparingly. The Almighty uses this word only by something which is really good in all perfection. Moshe Rabbeinu was called Tov. Yisrael is called Tov. And his Torah is Tov. And therefore, when he says it's good, it means not only you can trust him that it's good, and not only you can rely upon him, but it means it's good from every aspect. Something which is impossible by something that's earthly. Something that's earthly has qualities, but shortcomings. Cannot have all qualities. Cannot encompass everything. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tov can encompass everything. And therefore, he said, it is like silver, and it is like gold. What is the element of silver? What's the attribute of silver? The attribute of silver is purity. Many times it's referred to as kesef tsoruf, refined, pure silver. And Torah is called Imreis Hashem Imoreis, that the words of Hashem are like kesef tsoruf, perfectly refined, pure silver. The quality of silver is its purity. Purity means something which has no alien or foreign element inside of it. It's tahor. This is the reason why silver is colorless. Because something that's colored has some type of foreign mixture in it that's giving it that color. Every color has some type of positive element in it. White lacks all color. So therefore the ultimate of purity would be something that would be white or colorless. And this is why silver is colorless. This is the quality of silver. And Torah is like this. Torah is the ultimate of purity. There is no foreign or alien mixture in Torah. Even to the point where there would be a color. Therefore it's compared to silver, kesef tzoruf, and the ultimate of purity. What is the attribute of gold? Gold is something which is beautiful. As it states, Nechmodim Kizov. Nechmod Kizov, as beautiful as gold. Gold is something which is beautiful to look at. Gold is more beautiful to look at than silver. But gold does not have the purity of silver. Even though you can make Zov Tor, pure gold, it does not have the purity of silver. And one of the proofs of that is it retains its color. Its natural color is red. And this redness is an element which is mixed into the gold. It is not colorless. So gold has the attribute of beauty to the eye. While silver has the attribute of purity in its ultimate. And the Torah is both. It's kekesev ukizov. It's pure, with no foreign mixture, and at the same time, it's beautiful. What does this mean? This means that the words of Torah and the principles of Torah are pure to the ultimate, but at the same time, beautiful to the eye. Many things are pure, they're profound, but they, on the other hand, though, only if you go into them with great depth can you appreciate it. Otherwise, you don't appreciate it. Some things look very beautiful, but it's skin deep. Torah is both. The ultimate of purity, and at the same time, the ultimate of beauty. From here we learn what Torah must be. Torah has to be totally pure. When a person approaches Torah, he cannot mix in foreign ideas, foreign elements, but he must approach Torah with a total objectivity. Unfortunately, many people come to Torah with already set ideas, and they try to take these ideas and implant them in Torah. That's not Torah. When he comes to learn Torah, he has to forget all other ideas and approach Torah with a total objectivity. They used to ask the great Gaon, Reb Moshe Feinstein, Zichrono Livracha, when he would, many times, he would paskin a halacha, he would render a decision that from one hand could be very severe. And other times he would render a decision that would be extremely lenient. And they used to ask him, what is his nature? To come with a severe approach or to come with a lenient approach? And he would say he comes with no approaches. Whenever he looks at a shaila, he looks at a question, he enters into the question without any prejudices whatsoever, without any ideas whatsoever. And he judges only from the Torah itself. If it happens to be a severe judgment, it's a severe judgment. If it happens to be a lenient judgment, then it's a lenient one. Torah must be totally pure. We cannot come and mix in our own ideas and our own emotions and our own problems and our own natures into Torah. But we must approach Torah with total objectivity if we want to come to a Torah Temima, a Torah Tahora, to a pure Torah, like pure silver. At the same time, Torah must be something which is beautiful. We see many places that Torah is praised because of the quality of beauty. Well, like David HaMelech said, Tamu Uru Ki Tov, taste it and you'll see it tastes good. Many times a doctor will give us a medicine which is a wonder medicine in the world, but it tastes awful. Or sometimes we'll eat something which tastes wonderful, but it is awful for the person. Torah must have both. Imreis Hashem Imoreis, that the words of Hashem are kekesef tzoruf, tahores kesef tzoruf, they are pure as the most refined silver, and at the same time they're mechmodim mipoz umizov, and they are as beautiful as gold to the eye. So this was the first aspect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Then he said further, sometimes you buy a piece of land and it's fields where you can grow crops or fruit. And other times you buy a piece of land which is a vineyard, but you can't buy one piece of land that has both on it. Torah has both. A field that grows crops or fruits is something which is revealed. You know what's going to be there. You can buy the land when the fruits are already there, so you have a good idea of what's going to be there. But when you buy vineyards, you never know what's going to be there. because even if you buy it together with its grapes, the vineyards are not for the grapes. The vineyards are for the wine. And you never know what will come from the wine. What will be the value of this vineyard? Depends. The wine is totally concealed. It's concealed in the grape, and it's even concealed further, even in the juice of the grape. Wine is something which has to go through a process of fermentation. So the product is totally concealed. And what will be from it, this is something you never know. You can come out and have a good wine or a bad wine, a wine which is priceless and a wine which is worthless. But when you're dealing with a field of crops or a fruit, there you can assess what the value is. With Torah, you have both. Yesh bei sodeis v'yesh bei kromim. What does this mean? It has value from a revealed aspect, and it has value from a concealed aspect. There's a nigle v'nister. There's a revealed aspect to Torah, and there's a concealed aspect to Torah. Both top value. The Torah, if you learn it at its simple level, it's full of wealth. If you learn it at a deeper level, it's full of wealth. If you study it even at a deeper level, it's full of wealth. There are some things that have concealed value. For example, something which is at the bottom of the ocean, or something which is deep into the ground. But there's no revealed value there. There's other things that have a revealed value, but not a concealed. Torah is both. Both at its revealed level, it's full of wealth, and if it's at its concealed level, it's full of wealth. And this is why a person can never finish assessing what the value of Torah is, because it's endless. Just like a person would buy vineyards, he can't assess what that value will be. Maybe he'll have a crop of wine that will be such good wine, will become priceless. Or the wine, the longer it stays, the better it becomes. Yain Yoshon. The older it becomes, the better it is. So is it with Torah. And also because of this, Torah directs a person in revealed aspects and in concealed aspects. This world is the Olam HaNigla, is revealed, teaches a person how to walk in this world. The next world is the Olam HaNister, is the concealed world. It teaches a person how to walk there. We find that those who study Torah and they acquire Torah, the Gemara says they must have both attributes. Teche kebare, the Gemara says that their revealed personality must be the same as their concealed personality. You can't have a person who says one thing and he means something else. Or in one aspect he's good and in another aspect he's not good. But he has to be good from both aspects, because this is how Torah is. And also, the Gemara says, Talmidei Chachomim calls man shemaskinim a Talmid Chacham, the older he becomes, the greater in Torah he becomes. Generally, age deteriorates. A person reaches his peak, and once he reaches his peak, it's downhill. He starts to deteriorate. But by the Talmidei Chachomim, it states that they're like Yain Yoshon. They're like wine. Wine, the older it becomes, the more meshubach, the more praiseworthy it becomes. Talmidei Chachomim, the older they become, the better their minds become. The greater their Torah becomes. Why? Because this is the nature of Torah itself. So this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant when he said, Ki lekach tov, it is good, good from all aspects. If it was lacking from one aspect, that's not good. That's not good in the eyes of Hashem. And therefore it has both sodeis and kromim. It has open fields and it has concealed vineyards. Then he said, if you really want to get an idea of its value, so take a look and see what Mesha, who was the broker, what he gained from this sale. It states that Mesha Leyoda, he didn't know, ki koran arponav, orponav bidabri itoy, that beams of light came from his face when he was speaking to Hashem. From here, what do we see? That from here we see that the essence of Torah, if we could give it an essence, would be that of light. Because Moshe was dealing, he was handling in Torah. This is what he was dealing with. And what did he get from it? Light. The broker always gets a commission. He gets a part of the sale. Moshe got light. We see from here that the essence of Torah is light. And this is what it's called. Torah or. Torah is light. Now light is an element which is the furthest removed from anything which is material, from the material world, from the physical world. The higher something is elevated and becomes apart, becomes removed from physical essence, the more light it will have. For example, you go into the earth, it's total darkness. The more you move away from the earth, the more light there'll be. Because light is a zakus hachemer. Light comes when there is the absence of material elements. So actually it's a spiritual beam, this power of light. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to the Torah as light, ki Torah or. He refers to the neshama, to the soul that he gave man as light, ki ner neshama. The Tzelem Elokim, the image that he gave to man from himself, is a light. So from here we see, from the fact that Moshe's face became full of light, beams of light went out from it, because he was dealing in something which in essence is this light. And this was because he was so close to Torah, not because he spoke to Hashem. We find many, many Nevi'im, many prophets spoke to Hashem, but this didn't happen to them, only to Moshe, because he was so close to Torah. And therefore, the intellect of the person is always called Or. Because the intellect of the person is that which can come close to Torah. It states, Ksilim b'cheshek heilech. The fools, they'll walk in darkness, because they're far from understanding Torah. The wise, they walk in light. Chochmos Odom Teir Aponov. The wisdom of a person brings light to his face. The wisdom of Torah brings light to a face, to his face. We also find that by man, who was given a light, he was given a soul which brings a light to him, and when that soul departs, the light also departs from him. And he was given an intellect to study Torah which brings more light to him. We find that the main light is in his face. Chokhmah Zodim Teir Ponov. The heel is totally darkness. There is no light on the heel. Because the heel of the person, that's towards the earth. And that joins man to the earth. How does man stay on the earth? Through his feet. So this is very far. This is more earthly and very far from the level of Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We once mentioned that the Gemara in Baba Basra brings that someone went into the cave, the Moris Machpelah, and he saw Adam HaRishon, the body of first man. And he said that he saw his two heels, and they were full of light like the two balls of the sun. So what was he bringing out? That Adam HaRishon, the first man, was given so much light that even his two heels were equal to the light of the sun. So from here we learn that from Moshe, who was the one who made this transaction, from what he gained from it, then we can assess what was sold, what was given from one party to the other. And Moshe lo yoda ki koran or ponav medabra yitei, Moshe didn't realize, but beams of light came out of his face when he spoke to Hashem in receiving the Torah. From here we learn that Torah must be a light. People who learn Torah and become confused, they are destroying the purpose of Torah. People who use Torah to create chaos, then they're not coming close to what Torah is. Torah has to be an orponov. It has to be a light to a person. David HaMelech said that I walk in your light of Torah. It shows me the way which where to go. Therefore, people, if someone learns Torah and it adds confusion, it adds chaos, then he should know that's not Torah. Torah has to be a light which lights up all of the darkened corners. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what else is good in my Torah? Besides the fact that it has silver and it has gold and it has fields and it has vineyards and it is mole or, it is all light. What else is good in my Torah? It is so good, what I sold you, that with it not only you acquired that what was sold, but you acquired the seller also. And it brings the example of a king who had a daughter. And he said, I can't leave my daughter go. Therefore, wherever you go, build a house for me also, that I might come and dwell with you. Now, what does this teach us? We can ask a question. Why do we need the Mishkan? This week's parsha states, Yichli Truma, take from yourself contributions. You shall make a mishkan, vosuli migdosh v'shachanti b'seichon, that I might dwell with you. Why do we need it? Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, we have. We are free men. Matan Torah, the giving of Torah, we have. So what do we lack? That we need something else. The same thing it states in the Agor Shel Pesach, where we say, Kama Mailes Teves, Dayenu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us so many good things. And we start from the beginning there of what he did in Egypt. So we go through the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, the giving of the Torah. So that's enough. No, but after that it states, Shehechnisonu le'eretz Yisrael, ubon alonas beis habachira. You brought us to Eretz Yisrael and you built for us the Beis HaMikdash. What do we need that for? What does that add? What we already did not have. Freedom from Egypt we have. Torah and mitzvahs we have. So what more is needed? Here comes to teach us a very great principle. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to Israel, This means that Torah he gave down to the earth. Actually, there was a whole row. The angels came to him and said, Torah chem de genuza, this wonderful treasure of yours, you're going to give down to the earth. And this is what Hashem did. He gave Torah down to the earth. Meisha ola al ahor. Meisha went up and he brought Torah down. What does this seemingly mean? That we have Torah here and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the heavens. That's not the case. When Moshe gave Torah to Israel and he brought it down, he did not bring down only Torah. He brought down HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Torah. It states Moshe ole al ahor. Moshe went up to the mountain. But it states also, Vayered Hashem Alahor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down on the mountain. When Moshe brought Torah down to Israel, with it he brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu down. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not separate himself from his Torah. The Torah and Hashem are inseparable. Just like this king with his only daughter were inseparable. And even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give Torah away, like the king had to give his daughter away, he said, in that case, I must come along also. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if I'm giving you my Torah, Torah can't be there, down there, and I'm up here. Then you must build a home for me where I can come and dwell with my Torah. This is why it states that Hareya mechach mea umes. When you see a person who's wise in worldly knowledge, you must make a brocha. You make a brocha, Hashanosa mechach mosoi. You bless a Kodesh Baruch Hu that gave from his wisdom to a human being. But Hareya mechach mea teira. But when you see someone who's wise in Torah, you make a brocha not asher nosan, but asher cholak mechoch mosoi, lireyov, who divided his wisdom with him. When it comes to worldly knowledge, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, but he doesn't give himself, of himself. He gives the wisdom, but he stays here. When it comes to Torah, he cannot give Torah and Hashem stays here. If he gives Torah, then he goes with it. So therefore it states, Asher Cholak, he divided, he imparted Torah from himself to those who fear him. And therefore, he said, V'osuli migdosh, v'shochanti b'seichon. Now that I've given you the Torah, so you have me also. This means that not only is Torah going to be by you, but Shekhinah also will be by you. So you have to make a place for the Shekhinah. So now make a sanctuary. Mishkan is from the word Shekhinah, which means the presence of Hashem in this world. Make a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst you. So this is the reason why first we have Mishpatim, the parsha of Yisro. These were the laws that go in front of the Torah to guard the Torah. And then we have the giving of the Torah, Torah in the middle. And then we have the Parsha Ve'ela Mishpatim, the laws which follow the Torah. Like a queen that walks with her sentries in front and her sentries in back. Because the Mishpatim protect the rights of people. It assures that evil is not done. That people do not tread where they should not tread. They do not take what they should not take. They do not trespass where they should not trespass. It assures that evil is not done. They are the sentries that protect justice to assure that evil is not done. But Torah is in the middle, because Torah is even more than that. Once it's assured that evil is not done, then there comes a higher level of doing a positive goodness. So therefore the Torah says that Menasiv Tztoka Aalech, I walk in the path of justice, B'seich Nesivus Mishpat, in between the paths. I walk in the path of charity, in between the paths of justice. Rachmona. The Torah was called Rachmona, which is good. And then, once the Torah was given, then we have the Parshas Truma, Vayichli Truma, V'osoli Migdosh. Make for me a Mishkan, V'shashkanti B'seichom, that I may dwell amongst you. Because what I'm giving you is totally good. It encompasses everything. There is nothing lacking. It has gold and it has silver. It is pure as silver and beautiful as gold. It has chromium and sardis. It is revealed, all of the revealed fruits of the field and all of the concealed fruits of the vineyard. Look at Moshe and you'll see what I'm made of. From Moshe became all light from dealing with Torah. It is an ore, it is a light. And not only that, but did you ever see when someone sells something that the owner also is transferred in the sale? But here, I also am transferred. Because by giving Torah to you, I have given myself to you. And therefore, you must make a place where I can come amongst you. The going out of Egypt, that was the first freedom. Receiving Torah was another level. But coming to Eretz Yisrael, because Hashem B'tzion Sheichin, this is his place where he dwells. And building the Beis HaMikdosh, this was bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu amongst us. From here, we understand then that the Mishkan, the main part of the sanctuary, therefore was Torah. The whole sanctuary was only because of Torah. And this is what we see. Because the first command given to Moshe in the Mishkan was Osuli Oren. Make for me an Oren to hold the Torah. And the Chazal say, why was that the first? Because Seif Maaseh Tchilas Machshava. What do you think of first? You think of first, if you want to build a beautiful home, you don't think of the foundations. You think of the home. You think of the final achievement. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke of the Mishkan, he was speaking of Torah. So first he said, make for me an Oren that will hold the Torah. And the Oren is called Oren Shekulei Or, from the word Or, it's light. And that shall be in the most holiest part, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And I will speak to you through the Kruvim, through the images which is on the Oren. This teaches us that the only way a person can come close to Hashem, Hashem can come close to him, is through Torah. Only when Hashem gave Torah, then did he follow the Torah. Then did he dwell in the Mishkan. Therefore, this was the central point of the Mishkan. And from here we understand one other thing. We find that when Klal Yisrael went into Golus, they went into exile, they had to leave Eretz Yisrael, and they had to leave their Beis HaMikdosh. It states, Golus Yisrael, Golus Shkinti Iman. Yisrael went into Golus, Hashem went with them. Why? Why did Hashem go with them? It states, Hashem B'tzion Sheichin. He chooses to dwell in Sion. So why did he go into Golus with Yisrael? The answer is very simple. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes where the Torah is. It states that when Klal Yisrael went into Golus, in all of the Goliyos, La Yifseku Mi Bote Midrashes Mi Bote Kinsiyos, that even though they lost many things in the exiles, they lost their king and they lost their Beis HaMikdosh, and they lost their sovereignty, they lost their land, but never did they lose the Torah. Wherever they went, they took the Beis HaMedrash and the Beis HaKnesses with them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes where Torah goes. When Moshe brought Torah down here, Hashem came down. And therefore when Klal Yisrael went into Golus, they took Torah with them. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu follows Torah. That's what the Chazal say, that Mishachorav Beis HaMikdosh, when the Beis HaMikdosh, in the time of the Beis HaMikdosh, and Torah was there, the Oren was there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwelled there. But once the Beis HaMikdosh was destroyed, Mishachorav Beis HaMikdosh, Ein LaKadosh Baruch Hu, El Adal Lamesh Shel Halacha Bilvad. Where did Hashem go? He went to the places where Torah was studied. So this gives us, first of all, an insight into Smichas HaParshos. Why do all of these Parshas come together? That we have Parshas Yisro, we have Parshas Mishpotim and Parshas Truma. And secondly, it emphasizes for us, it enlightens for us what Hashem said to Moshe, Ki lekach tov nosati lochem. What I'm giving you is good. Good from every aspect. Therefore, teirosi al tazevu. Do not forsake it, because there is nothing that you will ever have as good as the Torah that I'm giving into this world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.